You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, everybody, we're here at the Urban Land Institute's Tampa Conference. It's actually the Florida Conference. We're talking about all things real estate Florida. And we've got Patrick Phillips. And Patrick has got some fancy title that I already forgot from Urban Land Institute. So Patrick's going to tell us his title. Then we're going to talk about national real estate trends with Patrick.
I'm the global CEO of the Urban Land Institute.
All right. Now, tell us some trends. Were you at the Recon conference?
I was not at Recon this year. ICSC out in Vegas? No, I wasn't. I was busy putting together ULI's annual budget forecast for next year. But we just had our major spring meeting out in Seattle the week before.
So what were some of the topics that people talked about there?
Well, you know, the durability of this cycle, where we are deep into this real estate cycle. Things seem to be holding up. The fundamentals are holding up pretty well. Some sectors are stronger than others. There's clearly an overhang in luxury apartments in a lot of markets right now. Rents are starting to soften. Vacancies creeping up a little bit. Industrial looks good. Retail is who knows. And office is shaky as well. Office is changing really rapidly, and that's the core in most of these markets in terms of institutional-grade investment.
I really want to talk a little bit about what the ULI is, because I go to a lot of different trade events. We talked about the ICSC event, and what I have found is that ULI has a real education component, a real personal growth component that I've always found very rewarding. It's what I encourage young people to get into right away.
Yeah, ULI has a mission. A lot of organizations, are really either about networking primarily, or they're about advocacy. ULI doesn't lobby, and we certainly do networking, but networking is really a byproduct of the mission. The mission's about making an individual commitment, a personal commitment to doing a better job, creating a better built environment. That's what attracts people to ULI, and the business development aspects of ULI are really a byproduct of that.
Well, what I found is at ULI is that a lot of people are here with creative new ideas, and it's where people can bring those new ideas together, kind of test them out with other, I want to use the word thought leaders, but not too liberally. And it seems to me a great petri dish for creativity and industry growth.
The other great thing about ULI is that it's interdisciplinary. You know, you go to an architects convention, you talk to architects. You go to Recon, you're generally with retail folks. ULI is all professions involved in the built environment, all property sectors, and all geographies.
Yeah, that's what it really attracts me too. And you get the best and the brightest here at ULI. It's really interesting conferences that I go to, and I love being involved with all of the events. You got Julie here locally, Julie Medley, who helps us in Miami. What are some of the new things that ULI is doing as technology forces us all to change?
You know, we're really investing heavily in technology right now. We thought 10 years ago that technology would actually replace this kind of face-to-face connection. That hasn't happened. You know, in fact, our convening power is as strong as ever, and our conferences are doing better than ever. But there's an awful lot of connections we can make between our members using technology between these kinds of face-to-face events. So we're really focusing in on that. How can you get to the right information quickly? And have it being useful and digestible and accessible as easily as you can. That's where we're really focusing.
Well, I think that you're doing a great job of it. I know that I'm using your hashtag and your at sign to do my content, and we're going on Facebook also, so people are watching us if they're looking at the hashtag. In fact, they can see us all over the world, and I think that that's a really terrific value add about doing things from the conference, is that people can see us in real time all across the world. And it's really important stuff you're talking about. Now, what's one of the most important takeaways that you got from the national meeting you were just at?
You know, I think it's probably that there's a lot of concern about, and this is particularly true in our district council system. What we hear from them is there's a lot of concern about how the benefits of development and redevelopment are not being very well spread across the population. That is, that there's growing inequality, there's concerns around affordable housing, there's concerns around gentrification, And the development community, the folks that are, you know, passionate about ULI, need to begin looking at ways that they can either demonstrate and communicate more effectively the benefits of development and redevelopment. And they need to be cognizant of the politics of redevelopment, because without being able to operate in that sphere, they're not going to be successful in getting their projects approved or financed. It's a real issue right now, and we're seeing it in particular as millennials come back downtown, as we see the transformation of older neighborhoods and the downtown communities. We're seeing a lot of political friction around development.
Well, I also think that one of the ramifications of that, or the side effects of that, is traffic, transportation. Because in Miami, we have a very split community. We have all the high-end stuff on the coast, and then as you head inland, that's where your workforce lives. And what's the traffic crush? The traffic crush is from all the outlying areas where the workers live to come into town where their boss lives and has the office. And I'm making my career right now on redeveloping in-town smaller projects that people that work and live in downtown, and I call them people under 40, I don't use the M word, and where they have it, when they have a kid and a half, they can move to our project. And I really think that that is a real big issue that we have to deal with, because if we don't, there's going to be a lot of social pressure.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it's going to, there's a lot of other trends around it, particularly, we've been advocating for years that for example, climate change is a land use issue, right? I mean, if you're gonna locate housing and jobs far apart because of the factors that you recognize, that you're gonna have to live far from your job, you're gonna have to commute long distances, then carbon emissions are up, climate change is exacerbated. So, these things are all connected. But I think you're right. I mean, there's gonna be new product types that are gonna emerge from this kind of concern. And that's what makes the development business so interesting.
And people that want to live in these in-town developments, they're high density, they're 2 and 3 stories. And now what happens if the person is over 50 or 55? They want to live in a flat. They don't want to live in one of these 3-story buildings. So then you're forced to have a hydraulic elevator. It adds costs. So it's going to be really interesting how some of these problems are going to be solved.
Yeah, we had a great panel today on building for adaptation. In other words, thinking ahead about how buildings can be retrofitted to support either other uses or other market segments. We're seeing lots of innovation around the country in that area. For example, in Alexandria, Virginia, there's an office building that's being retrofitted, not as housing necessarily or as office necessarily, but both. So the geometry of the building supports the use either as an apartment unit or as an office building, even on the same floor.
Yeah, well, what you've got to do is you've got to now have flat parking decks with speed ramps on the outside, so that when you don't need the upper floor, you just get rid of it and you make it either office or support or something. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. And I think it'll also be a way that people deal with, I have to say it, climate change.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. The other great thing about, a really interesting dimension of urban change right now is the emergence of autonomous vehicles. And what that's going to mean for land use, what is it? It's already having an impact on parking standards, for example. And if you can lower the amount of parking that a developer has to build, for example, housing can be made more affordable. Longer term, it's going to have dramatic implications for land supply and land price issues in urban areas.
Well, what I've seen is that we're already having conversations about condominiums being built in Miami without parking. They've already been built without parking. Now people are asking, can they do the next round? I don't necessarily think it's time for more condo, but I do think that the discussion about having a lot of parking is now over in urban areas. What would one good takeaway be, Patrick, about urban land? Let's make an ad. Why should somebody get involved with the Urban Land Institute?
ULI is a lifelong organization. You can get involved at the local level, the regional level, or the global level. You can come here to learn. You can connect. You can develop your business, or you can give back to your community. You can navigate through this organization throughout the course of your career, and it adds value every step of the way.
Well, I think I'm going to become a ULI member. Oh, hold it. I already am. Well, listen, Patrick, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, for all of your leadership that you provide the industry. and for giving us people like Julie Metal to work with. I really, you've got a great team in Florida. Congratulations. I'm sure your team nationally is just as good too. Patrick Phillips, thank you so much for being on the show today.